It's time for your weekly dose of movie news, reviews, and the occasional rumor. Here's your host, Todd Vandenberg, Lee Vowell, and Rob Steele. This is Cinema Savants.
And coming up in this week's show, Shazam raps. Not that way. Captain Marvel changes slightly, and Martin Riggs is apparently not who we thought he was. But we'll get to that in a minute. First, I want to start with actually a technical note. If you use the program Kodi as your media server in your house or on your phone or whatever, chances are you're familiar with not the Internet Movie Database, IMDb, but the TV database, thetvdb.com. Now, chances are that's how you have your TV programs hooked up through this program. Don't panic, but the TV database got a massive overhaul, and it looks like it was now made this millennium instead of last millennium. It still works the same on Kodi. Don't panic, but take a look. It's very nice now. Meanwhile, in news that we actually care about, or something like that. I don't know. Good Morning America ran a story this week that threw me off. I wasn't expecting them to bring up that people want there to be another rating for movies. So I would have thought, what, we got G, PG, PG-13, R, NC-17, and however many X's you want to throw on a movie for porn. Now they want to add PG-15. Did you guys see this week? I thought this was very odd.
I did. I saw it in the outline.
That was helpful.
That's the only place I saw it.
The parents in this study that was conducted felt that movies with unjustified but bloodless gun violence, which I assume means like the A-Team used to be, are okay for 16-year-olds, but not 15-year-olds. Really, I didn't realize there was that much of a switch between the ages, even though two of my kids passed those ages a while ago.
I think it's because at 16 you can borrow your dad's guns to shoot up your high school, and at 15 probably not. That's what I'm assuming.
There we go.
I think that's it.
I also thought it was very weird that they classified justified and unjustified violence in this story, with justified movie violence being movies like White House Down or Live Free or Die Hard, unlike Terminator Salvation and Taken were unjustified.
See, I would think justified violence would be like, you know, 12 Years a Slave, not you know, when violence towards whites. Or something like something historical instead of something, you know, just random. Live Free and Die. Why is that justified?
Saving Private Ryan, that's justified violence.
If it's historically based, yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Any Quentin Tarantino movie is unjustified, but more fun. So there you go. Maybe parents could take some responsibility and find out a little bit about the movie before they schlep their kids in.
Wait, like, you're asking people to be parents again?
Like the lady who had her 6-year-old and her roughly, maybe a 7-year-old and roughly 4-year-old watching Deadpool, not Deadpool 2, but Deadpool when it came out, and it was like 3 rows ahead of me. It's like, you might kind of just do a little extra research before you take your kids to the latest comic book hero movie.
Step one, look at that little letter at the bottom that says R.
Even aside from that, because then it goes back to, well, I need perfect guidance. I need PG-15, and then we'll need PG-7, and then we'll need, you know, find out a little bit about the movie. It takes, how long would it take? Because they all have the little blurb. Again, if you need a helping hand, why it's rated the way it's rated. If it says
even
violence.
With a 4-year-old, though, I mean, I'm not taking that 4-year-old to a superhero movie. There's too much violence.
Yeah, there's a ton of violence. I mean, it's just
maybe if they re-release the Christopher Reeve Superman movies, then you can take your 4-year-old. Otherwise, no.
This goes back to, you know, the whole thing. It was like, oh, we're going to blame the media and we're going to blame the culture instead of taking responsibility for is like what you're allowing your kids to watch. It's like, no, we don't need a PG-15. We need parents who pay attention to what the hell their kids are watching instead of just using a handy note version and then saying, well, it was PG-15. It, you know, my kid should have been fine with it. Just stop with this crap.
Yeah. The 4-year-old I took to see Superman thought that the Christopher Reeves version was way too violent. They thought the Brando character was... They thought it was nothing compared to Last Tango in Paris, so they shouldn't have seen it. So, that's...
Wow.
I'm sure they appreciated Last Tango in Paris a lot more, too.
The cheese scene was especially tasty.
So...
It's a fine film. If people haven't seen Last Tango in Paris, just throwing it in. It's a good film. It's just that...
Which, by the way, is rated PG-35.
I thought it was 36. Anyway, moving on to other non-specifically movie news, but Benedict Cumberbatch announced this week that he will only sign on for an acting job if his female co-stars are paid the same as him, which on the one hand, I think that's a great idea to get equal pay for everyone. Unfortunately, the other side of that, how many of you think that Benedict Cumberbatch just signed his own pay cut?
Which is a shame if that happens, but it's very possible. Or maybe he's willing to take a pay cut, yeah. You know, if it does equal.
Yeah.
And maybe, exactly, because he's making, who knows what he made for his Marvel films, but I'm sure it was a pretty penny. And, yeah, I agree with you guys.
Substantially compensated.
He's probably okay with that. Part of the problem with this whole equal pay thing is because it does go into the whole concept of market forces, and you have to think about the draw. Is that exactly, I mean, if he has a co-star, a female co-star who has relatively equal screen time, we're not going to talk about the exact number of lines or whatever, but basically they're co-starring a film, but she's brand new. Is she going to be the draw or is he going to be the draw? I mean, you have to think about that.
And I mean, and this can be flipped too, easily too. I mean, if you get a Meryl Streep with Steve, whoever the hell Steve is, you know, Steve is not the draw
from Blue's Clues.
There we go.
Well, a lot of people pay to see Steve.
Actually, I would probably pay to see Steve.
No, I mean, but it's a good. You guys, they're both valid points. I guess the difference is the actor themselves really only has. I mean, once the movie's done, you know, they're not involved. Really, they're not getting paid to do marketing. It's just part of their contract to make the film in the first place.
Yeah.
So really, what control they have is okay. I'll do this movie, but you also have to do this. So that's really the only power they have when the movie's made. Most of them, anyway. So that's, you know, in his case, it's they may not be thinking about, you know, this what this movie's going to make and things like that. They're trying to control the only power they have, which is, hey, if I'm in this movie, then, you know, actress A should also make the same, because that's the only time they're ever really going to be able to say it, is if I'll sign this to do this movie, but you also have to pay this actress the same thing. So.
Sure. And I totally...
From the actor's point of view, it makes sense.
Yeah, and I see why he's doing it, and I agree with what he's doing. It's just it's not completely as simple as, well, everyone should be paid equally, because there are some cases where one person is going to be the reason people are going to see the movie and the other one isn't. But when there is disparity, it's not too often where the actress is getting more. Like, probably, I would guess, never. I mean, there have been plenty of cases where, oh gosh, now I can't think of the name of the film, but they did reshoots, and an actor got over $1 million, and the actress got $100,000.
Wasn't that the thing with Matt Smith doing the...
It wasn't Matt Smith, although I'm sure that happened too. Oh, well, Matt Smith was getting paid more for The Crown, and it's just goes on and on and on. It's a million, well, not a million, but there are literally hundreds of examples. Yeah. And in virtually every one of them, the actor is getting paid more than the actress, which is pretty ridiculous. So I totally see where it's coming from. It's just that in some circumstances, and like you said, when you've got Meryl Streep is the one who needs to get the bigger paycheck. I mean, even if Jesus Christ comes back and decides to be in the movie, Meryl needs to get the bigger paycheck because she's got the established acting chops.
Right. Or Charlize Theron or Jennifer Lawrence at this point, maybe, depending on the film.
So. Yeah, exactly.
Well, moving on to actual movie news. I saw this yesterday where Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick who recently wrote the Deadpool sequel, have signed on to make the new adaptation of Clue, which does not need to be remade. I thought the original was brilliant, actually. But they're going to make an R-rated version of Clue. No. No, I don't think we need that. Do you think we need that? I think that's a horrible idea.
I wonder what makes it R. I mean, what about Clue would warrant an R rating? Violence?
I was going to say it's a murder mystery. So.
My guess is they're just going to throw language into it unnecessarily. The first one, it didn't need it.
Well, it's got to be some pretty harsh language to get an R these days.
That's probably true.
Yeah, I would say it's murders and language, and I'm sure they'll throw in a couple of boffing scenes. Just why not?
Because the first version needed that. So no, it didn't.
Yeah, I don't need a PG-15 or PG-13 or G-rated version of Clue. So I could care less.
Is it just me? Because I actually did think the first version was it's one of my favorite movies. I thought it was excellent. And the marketing for it with the three different endings.
Because the marketing is brilliant.
I remember that in theaters, you only got to see one ending when you went to go see it, mm-hmm. although there were three different endings to it that you didn't get until, 10 years later when it came out on VHS?
Mm-hmm. Anyway. I thought it was funny. It was certainly not one of my favorite movies, but that's why they make different movies for different people.
Right.
But a remake, I mean... Yeah, okay, I don't care. I mean,
well, they're remaking everything else. Why not?
Exactly. Yeah, they are. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's so it's not exactly, oh, that's terrible, they're remaking Clue, but the R-rated thing, I guess, because if you're going to remake something, you should put a
make
different
spin grittier.
On it. Well, not to make it grittier, but at least put a different spin on it, and I guess that would be a different spin for sure. So I just hope Martin Mull's in it again.
Is he still alive?
I don't
really
care.
Everyone, look it up. And while they're looking that up, okay, so Deadpool 2 came out and made a lot of money. It unseated Infinity War. Well, duh. Kind of expected that to happen, and I expect Solo to drop Deadpool off next week.
Of course.
But I saw an ad for Deadpool 2 that, and we see these all the time, where they have the movie critique. You know, Bob says it's a tremendous movie, or whatever. Andrew Freund, and I'm probably mispronouncing that, and I don't care. he's a reporter for, I think it was ABC, said Deadpool 2 is unique. And I thought, it's a sequel, you ass clown. It is not unique. It the opposite of unique. And at that point, I went, you know what? I'll wait till it comes out on video, because that right there made me go, yeah, no, I'm not going.
Unique in what way? Maybe it's unique in that it's a sequel, which, I don't know, has seven extra characters that weren't in the first one, and it's not opening on a holiday weekend.
It's not unique in that I've seen what they did to the X-Men characters that are in this that look nothing even remotely close to the way they look in the books.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I'm hoping, because a couple of the costumes, at least a couple, look really, really awful, like bad cosplay. And I'm hoping that's intentional and they reference it in the movie.
Right.
They'd kind of have to. I mean, Domino looks like she came... Domino was in Shaft, right? Is that where she came from? Or one of the bad Shaft spin-offs.
I may be misunderstanding what the summary of this film is. Actually, according to Metacritic, I don't know if you guys have looked at the summary for Deadpool 2, so I will read it.
Go
it's
ahead.
It's short. And I'm not making this up.
After unique.
Surviving, no. Well, just wait for it. After surviving a near-fatal bovine attack, a disfigured cafeteria chef, Wade Wilson, struggles to fulfill his dream of becoming Mayberry's hottest bartender, while also learning to cope with his lost sense of taste. Searching to regain his slice of life as well as a flux capacitor, Wade must battle ninjas, the Yakuza, and a pack of sexually aggressive canines as he journeys around the world to discover the importance of family, friendship, and flavor, finding a new taste for adventure and earning the coveted coffee mug title of World's Best Lover.
How much crack does one have to smoke?
Well, so here's the thing I liked about it. That is the summary on Metacritic. But how much fun is this movie having where they actually go to the, you know, reputable website and still have that summary. I mean, that's why I want to see the movie. I mean, I could look at it and, you know, whatever, but I'm not going to judge it. I'm this kind of movie, especially like Deadpool, the first one, I'm there to have fun. And so all I really want for it to fun, because if it's not fun, this movie would be god awful.
Yeah.
No, just in case you're wondering, I know Lee will occasionally go off on tangents. He's not making that up. I'm looking at it too.
Rob, based on that summary, based on that synopsis, you have to admit Deadpool 2 is unique. Because there's never been a film like that.
I just like how they added Mayberry in there.
Yeah.
That's... Well, I'm speechless.
There you go. Yeah, Deadpool, the first film was amazingly fun and crass and vulgar and awful for children under the age of, I don't know, 50. But, yeah, and then from what we're reading, most people say this is an improvement. Apparently, one of our surrogate critics, Rob's daughter, said it was swell.
Yeah,
so,
swell.
Thanks, hon.
I'm glad I sent you to the movie to critique it for everybody.
That's a
swell, Dad. Yeah, thanks.
It's a beautiful critique of this movie. It's swell. So none of us have seen it because we're all awful people. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it too. It just looks.
It looks bizarre. No.
It does look bizarre, and that's the point.
I've seen movies where they've done crack before they filmed before.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what this looks like, though. It's just odd. I'm not going to go with unique. I can't do that.
Highly odd, which is fun.
Let's see. Other Marvel news, because there is more Marvel news. The Avengers debuted in China this week, or I guess this past week, took in another $200 million. The last global total I saw was $1.6 billion through this past Sunday.
Looks like it's 1.8 now.
So. That does not surprise me.
Yep.
Plenty of money for them.
Will it pass Avatar, though? That's the question.
What's Avatar up to?
2.7. Sorry.
I don't think it's going to get there.
No, it's not going to catch Avatar. But it's a lot better movie, so that's okay.
That is true. Other Marvel news. After they finished the Captain Marvel movie, Kevin Feige, and that is how it's pronounced, I called Marvel and asked, they're going to make a movie using the Kamala Khan version of Ms. Marvel, which would mean not just a female-led superhero movie, a female Muslim-led superhero movie. Does that make it any more interesting for you? I'm just like, ooh, it's another character. Now, I admit, I'm not as familiar with this variation of Miss Marvel as the other one.
Doesn't make it more interesting for me, but it does make it pretty ballsy for Marvel.
That is true.
Agreed.
I like that. I mean, the little I know about the character, it's a pretty interesting, compelling character, and they don't just ignore the fact that she's Muslim or a young female, so which would be kind of the whole point of doing that. So I think that's awesome. They're a little late to the game of having female-led films, obviously, compared to even Warner Brothers figured that out before they did. But odds are they'll actually do a really good job with it.
I think it looks like it'd be interesting. Other Captain Marvel news. They said they're not going to follow the familiar origin first movie stereotype, which they laid out as, let's see, where was it? In the first act, you meet the character, they have a problem and get their powers by the end of the first act. Second act, they learn about the powers. And the third act, they probably fight a villain. Wow, that actually sums up pretty much every first superhero movie.
It does.
And they said they're not doing that. They haven't said specifically what they're doing.
So in this movie, I know, they're going to do the Incredibles 2 thing. Rachel, she's going to sit in her at home and just raise children that don't belong to her.
Ah.
Yeah, no villain, no powers. That would be a cool movie. Obviously, they're just going to go with a different format, which, of course, you'll have powers. Of course, you'll fight the villain, because, duh.
So, otherwise.
Yeah.
And speaking of villains in Marvel, Daredevil 3, well, third season, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Ben Affleck stopped after the first one, mercifully.
Not his fault.
No, it's not. They announced that they're going to do season 3, and the bad guy has already been cast. And I've already lost the name. Wilson Bethel. Never heard of the guy. He's from a movie called Heart of Dixie. Never heard of that either.
No.
But he's playing Bullseye, who was the bad guy in the movie.
Nice. That's awesome.
He was somebody I think needed to be in the series anyway, because...
Yeah.
Those of us who ever, if you've ever read the Daredevil books, you know Bullseye is the Joker to his Batman.
Yeah.
Because those go together.
He's the jelly to his peanut butter. If they fought constantly.
The peanut butter to his chocolate?
No, they're
Which brings
more.
Me to Titus yeah, O'Neil. Yeah. Because that goes together. No, WWE wrestler Titus O'Neil announced that because he is friends with Dave Bautista, who played Drax in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie, he has also scored a role in an upcoming Marvel movie. He has not said which one, and I'm trying to figure out what he would be good at, because he's actually about the same size as Dave Bautista, which is large. You guys got any ideas of who he could be?
MODOK. He'll play MODOK.
No, his head's not big enough. I actually did like the idea of, who was it? Peter Dinklage, I thought, was actually a brilliant idea for MODOK.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't happen.
No.
Nor do I suspect it's going to, but...
Not at this point, no.
No. Anyway, moving on to, DC Comics. Because they've got some... They had some odd stuff this week. The Shazam film... finished filming or shooting or whatever they want to call it, and it's going to come out April 5th, 2019. Yay. And that's frankly all I got to say about that. I don't, until I see a trailer, I'm not going to care that much about this movie.
I'm not going to care about it at all, to be honest. I'm not a big Shazam fan, so it's
like, okay, see, you're part of the same generation as I am, though. Do mm-hmm. you remember back in the 70s?
Well, we're both
when
in
he
our
had
70s,
his own show. Do you remember the Shazam show?
Vaguely, yes.
I vaguely remember thinking it was really good until I saw clips of it on YouTube and went, oh, wow. This was not a good show. which is why I'm kind of going, could have held off on this character. But I did find out this week why they kept mentioning... during the upcoming Titans series, why they announced all these members of the Doom Patrol that were going to be in the Titans series, and that's because they're doing a Doom Patrol series. Go figure. They're already spinning off from the Titans series.
I think that's cool, as long as they actually are relatively faithful to the original comic. I mean, Doom Patrol is really, really cool. Talk about it.
It is some really bizarre stuff.
Yes. It's very weird, very out there. So I like that. I like that quite a bit.
As long as they do better than the pictures we've already seen of Beast Boy and Starfire.
Yeah, well.
Which do not look good. Let's see, other DC news we had this week. Chris McKay, the guy who directed the Lego Bat movie, is still attached to the Nightwing film, and has spent the entire week denying that Zac Efron was cast as Dick Grayson. I consider this good news. Because I like Nightwing. I don't know about Chris McKay directing a Nightwing film, but you know what? Whatever. As long as it's not Zac Efron. So.
That would be a very different take on it, I would think.
Yeah. A comedy. Damn.
Yeah, I mean, if they do a Lego Nightwing movie, then I can see Zac Efron doing the voice.
Fine, there's a Lego one, and he can be small and plasticky. Other bat news that came out this week.
Sort of like he really is.
Actually, you're not that far off, I don't think. Although I think it's really Teflon instead of plastic. Okay. Epix, the movie channel that I had forgotten about, has ordered... I forgot it existed.
The movie channel you forgot about.
Ta-da! Has ordered a 10-episode TV series called Pennyworth, which is supposed to be... Well, it's the history of Alfred before he came to work for the Waynes.
Which is why it's on Epix. It's the series that you all immediately forget about on the movie channel you forgot about. Wow. It's,
and just for fun, they've set it in the Gotham universe. But it's not part of Gotham itself. Which I'm like, thanks for just contradicting yourself in the same sentence. Wonderful. How about some good bat news? At least I think this is good bat news. Comes out of actually the Arrowverse, the DC TV series on the CW, where they're going to actually include Gotham City, but they're not introducing Batman, who has been mentioned, or Robin or anything. They're introducing Batwoman. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with the new version of Batwoman that was introduced, I guess it was about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
She was in one of the animated movies too. The one with the word blood in the title, that the rest of which has escaped.
Bad blood.
Very, very interesting character. No word on who's been cast as her yet, but I think it'll be interesting. And the two of you, judging from your silence, the two of you are just...
Bad Blood is what she was in, and...
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, but it depends on the execution of it, right?
Yeah.
That's iffy for DC. Even for their animated movies, unfortunately, lately, it's iffy, so...
Although the trailer for the Death of Superman that they're doing, which... I have seen release dates that say November and July, and I'm wondering if they know that those are separate months. Who knows? But it looks good. Let's see, later this month, as in Friday, I think. Is that when Solo comes out? Friday, doesn't it?
Yes,
this weekend.
Yes, it does.
They're already talking about a spinoff for Lando. So the... next movie could be Lando, a Star Wars story. Because apparently the character has just taken off on, and critics love him.
I would say that the big reason for that is the person who's portraying Lando.
Yes.
I agree.
That's a huge part of it. Frankly, I'm more interested in a movie about Lando than I am about Solo. For one thing, the actor is more interesting. Haven't seen Solo. And the guy playing Han may be wonderful, may be terrific. So it's not so much that. It's just we know an awful lot about Han Solo. I mean, obviously, this is going to cover new territory. That's cool.
Yeah, because they killed off all the novels, the bastards.
But what do we know about Lando? That's much more interesting to me, actually, than a Solo movie.
Yeah, I think you have to have the Solo movie first, obviously. But yeah, but, I think the character, the Lando character, can be extremely interesting. Even if it had been Bingo Long playing it, you know, they'd made it several years ago.
I totally would have gone to see that. I mean, Lady Williams was awesome. Bingo Long, you're such a wonderful person.
But Donald Glover Jr., I mean, it just seems like a no-brainer. I mean, I think he's going to be fantastic in the movie. So, yeah, I mean, the Lando character's always been... It's like, why would they make a spinoff of just that character, because it's not a big enough character necessarily, but I think the character is interesting and has a would have a backstory that would be interesting enough to have a spinoff. Actually, I would see it opening weekend, I think, if Donald Glover Jr., I'm assuming he would be Lando still.
Yeah. Supposedly he's going to be.
Yeah. Which you just reminded me of something, Lee. The tragedy is that since we had a partial reunion of the Bingo Long group previously in Star Wars, why was Richard Pryor not in The Empire Strikes Back? That makes me sad. It makes me really, really sad.
Oh, he was one of the stormtroopers.
That's right. One of those, yeah.
He was, and he also played all of the little the Ugnaughts that were throwing C-3PO's body parts around.
He was the stormtrooper who set his head on fire and was running off the screen.
Yes. Speaking of, let's see, setting yourself on fire and running off screen. There we go. That's a good jump to Lethal Weapon. And the
that's work.
Setting yourself on fire? No. Clayton Crawford didn't set himself on fire and run off the set. He shot himself in the foot and was fired from the Lethal Weapon movie or TV series.
Yes.
And I mentioned this briefly last week that, oh, they've got a limited amount of time to recast him. Well, they kind of did. They've added Sean William Scott of American Pie fame to the Lethal Weapon series, but he's not playing Martin Riggs. Apparently at the end of season 2, Riggs said he was moving back to Texas because that is where Mel Gibson is from. And then he got shot in the chest. So they may kill him. They may just say, nope, he moved back to Texas where people with big hair come from or something. And just introduce Sean William Scott's character as a completely new character and let the series go from there. Which sounds like a hideous idea to me.
Well, having not watched any of the series, I don't really care. If I were them, I would kill off the character, though, just to make sure that some producer in the future doesn't
try to bring him back.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, no, you've caused too much chaos on this set. You're never coming back, dude. So, or you're dead. Isn't he playing his brother?
He could be. I haven't seen that part.
So, which is, of course, they would both be brothers and obnoxious.
Yeah. Eugene Levy as the dad is really good, though. That's one. No, I'm making that up.
That would explain a lot.
you mentioned TV shows that we've never watched, and that's one of them, of course. They announced this week, and I thought this was clever, because we've heard a lot about the He-Man being remade as a movie, and then they announced Netflix is going to be remaking She-Ra as a TV series. They announced the voice cast for She-Ra this week with 17 different actors who are going to be in this series.
That's a few.
All of them are from shows I have never even thought about being interested in watching. How do you go out of your way to make sure that I know absolutely none of them with a list that big? That's clever. How did they know that I'd never watched any of this crap?
Personally,
some of them I never even heard of. Have you ever heard of Elena of Avalor?
Is that a TV show or a person?
I don't know. Could be both.
I've heard of practically probably none of them except for She-Ra. If Sigourney Weaver's not doing the voice, then I don't care. That's the only reason I would ever watch it.
Fine then. Moving on to other TV shows.
Or Patton Oswalt. I would also watch it if Patton Oswalt was She-Ra.
Patton Oswalt as She-Ra. sure. That.
Or Stephen Wright.
Abe Vigoda.
Stephen Wright, it'd be 45-minute episodes, and it'd be like, you know, all they would do is like move from one room to another. That's how long it would take.
Well, have you seen the animation of the first one? That's what they did.
That's about true.
Okay, other TV news. We've had tons of cancellations for shows like Kevin Can Wait.
Oh,
spectacular. I thought you guys would like to hear that. Gotham was renewed for season 5, but they've also announced it is the last one.
Also tragic.
And it's going to be a shorter season for the purpose of bringing the show count to 101 episodes, which is the minimum tragic required for syndication.
So they're making barely enough so they can sell syndication rights.
There you go.
Because they realize what a train wreck this farce is.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Well, I'm proud to say that I've seen all about 7 minutes of Gotham, and that's all I'm ever going to watch. So
I heard there was a character called Fish Mooney and went, I'm not watching this. let's see. Elementary was renewed for its 7th season, even though it's only done, 3 episodes of this season. And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is being brought back for season 6, but it's not coming out until next summer.
And isn't that going to be a truncated season as well? Or is that not correct?
I have not heard either way yet. It could be.
Which I like the show. I like the show quite a bit. But
I do too. It's as opposed to anything that the She-Ra cast was in, something I have watched. So there. let's see. Speaking of things that we want to watch, did you guys see the trailer? Because there were two this week that I thought were interesting. Bohemian Rhapsody. The trailer for the Freddie Mercury biopic.
Yeah.
I thought it looked good, but I have seen complaints about it because there are a lot. There's apparently some people who are saying we don't see him with another man, and that we see him hanging around women. Why don't we see him hanging around men? I'm like, because it's a trailer, and we haven't gotten that far yet. I'm thinking in my head.
Yeah, it's a trailer. Calm down.
But I thought it looked good.
That's hopeful. That's very hopeful. I hope it's. That would be great if that's a wonderful film.
It's so music biopics are like just they can go either way. I mean, the trailers don't even really do it justice until the movie comes out. Then it's like, oh, let's. It could be. Man, I mean, the one I like Ethan Hawke a lot, but the one they made of. Oh crap! Guys, whose name Miles Davis couldn't stand, trumpeter from California. Anyway,
I know the one movie I can't think of. His name either. Yeah.
But
Dizzy Gillespie.
No.
You don't have the cheeks for it.
But that movie was just all, I mean, I like Ethan Hawke. I thought he did a decent job with the movie, but the movie was like all over the place. And it's just like the trailer actually looked pretty good. So it's, yeah. I don't know. It's hard to me. It's difficult to make a good musical. Like I didn't like The Doors either, but a good musical biopic and just, I don't think I'll withhold any kind of judgment until the movie actually comes out, and then maybe I see it, because the trailer's not going to tell me. It's just going to tell me, oh, there's music. There's Queen music involved. Oh, you should go see this.
I like the way they mixed it in the trailer.
Yeah.
I'm gonna ask you a quick question. Did you see the Get On Up? The James Brown? Film?
I did not.
Really good. Really good. But yeah, absolutely agree. The musical, the biopics can be really iffy. Miles Ahead is really good too. But yeah, a lot of times they can be kind of like, eh. Because they can't be too disjointed, because a lot of times they try to cover an entire career and it's an entire life. It's a lot to go through.
Cramming that much into an hour and a half of a movie.
Which I guess is true of all biopics. They can be very uneven.
Yeah.
For sure. Which I think is why Lincoln worked, because Lincoln wasn't trying to tell the whole story. It was like, let's focus on this. So,
this part, and only this part.
Yeah.
As opposed to the other big trailer that was released this week, which is not a bio. God, I hope it's not a biopic. Mission Impossible 6.
It totally is. He's trying to get Katie Holmes back.
Basically, I saw the trailer and said, it's full of sound and fury, signifying a lot of eh. Is that what you got out of it? I might have. Maybe I need to watch it again.
I got out of it that it looks like all the Mission Impossible movies, which to me they're fun. I mean, there are a couple that are just kind of like, yeah. But Ghost Protocol I thought was really, really good, because Brad Bird helped a lot since he was the director and actually made more of a coherent story instead of just a bunch of set pieces. So
as opposed to 3, which had...
Yeah.
We don't even know what the plot of 3 was.
Yeah. And these movies, they're almost... They almost don't need a plot. I mean, talking about, you know, going through the formula is like, okay, he's going to be on the outside looking in, because he always is, and his government will just, you know, it's set up in that little recording.
At some point, he'll jump out of a plane or something with a bungee cord and have to go down a tube.
At some point, he'll break an ankle in his stunt because he insists on doing this kind of crap. I mean, the stunts look great. It looks exciting. It looks fun.
The only fear I have with this is that they've make several hints at the, oh, he's Tom Cruise is, well, I think they're making it about Tom Cruise, about, oh, he's old to be playing this role. And it's like, are we going to have that too much in this film? Like, oh, Tom Cruise, he's not really that old, first of all.
Right.
Like, you know, but he's not too old to play the role. But no, it's I wonder if they're just going to make overkill with this film during the film and just, oh, he's so old, blah, blah, blah. It's an in joke in the whole
film. Peter Graves was in the TV series, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And he was, he was gray when it started.
Right.
Of course, they didn't, that wasn't like an action-oriented series like films are. But yeah, I agree. I hope they don't push that too much. But yeah, he's, 20 years younger at least?
Yeah.
Excuse me, than the primo action star ever, Harrison Ford. So yeah, he's got plenty of miles left on him. It's like if he stops doing all of his own stunts, he'll have a few more, I'm sure. But it looks fun. It looks exciting. I mean, it looks like
it'll be interesting. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Of course, Harrison Ford also did his own stunts. So. For the most part,
including in real life,
injured himself as well. Well, yeah, that's true with the helicopter, but I mean, or in the plane. But I mean, he hurt his knee during the what's the one with Tommy Lee Jones?
Fugitive.
Yeah, actually jumped off towards looking. I mean, he injured himself in Raiders of the Lost Ark. I mean, he's injured himself too. Tom Cruise is 55. Looks pretty good for 55. Oh, but when I get
to
that,
yeah,
pretty good. Yeah, he does. Because he had surgery on his. Looks better.
3'7".
So. he can play Wolverine.
And MODOK.
At the same time. Wolvamok. Which sounds like a vacuum cleaner. All right. Wanted to ask you guys about a trailer from last week, though. Because we finally got to look at The Predator. Which is what? The seventh in the series or something. Did you guys see this trailer and did you get anything out of it other than... the only question I came away with was, who the hell mailed the kid a Predator suit?
I have not seen the trailer because I'll watch it when it hits streaming services. I mean, honestly, even with MoviePass, I don't think I'm going to go see it because it's just kind of Predator fatigue has set in.
Not surprising.
Yeah, they don't. I mean, unlike the Mission Impossible movies, which basically do the same thing over and over and over, but it's enjoyable for the most part, Predator films they're just kind of there.
I think they've started getting better, actually. The first one I thought was good. I actually really liked the second one because it made more sense.
It did.
And then Predator... I thought, hey, let's take them to a wildlife preserve, basically. Which I thought that was kind of a cool idea. I don't know that they pulled it off terribly well, but it was at least, you know, something we hadn't seen before.
And it was a cool idea.
They just kind of blew the reveal in the trailer where everyone goes, oh, look, multiple moons. And if you just watch it, you know, as the movie... It would have been a much better reveal that way.
Yeah.
I thought.
Kind of be like showing the Statue of Liberty in a trailer for Planet of the Apes back in 1968. Wouldn't really work that well for the audience. So.
Exactly.
Spoiler alert for a 700-year-old movie.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, I have now officially run out of new stuff. Which is fine, I suppose. We didn't do last week, though, was the greatest TV program of all time of the week. I've also lost track of whose turn it is.
I believe it's my turn.
I was thinking it was.
At least that's what the notes say. I don't know if it's my turn,
That's why I put it's Todd's turn.
The pre-pro notes say it's Todd's turn again, so this would be my second go around. So this is not my favorite TV show of all time, because I already did that one, and I'm not going to say what it was because you just have to go back and listen to it again, the whole show, so you get to that part, which was boring. So my boring segment this time, another of my favorite TV shows of all time, and I thought of a couple, but I know Lee will cover some of these also, because we have crosstalk on some of our favorite shows, so I will not steal one because I know he'll go with that later. I will go with The Office. So I think The Office gets a bad rap I'm speaking of the American version, which many people view as a ripoff of the original British version. But it went in a lot of different directions than the British version did. And it gets a bad rap because after the lead character of the ensemble left, Steve Carell, and he left after 7 seasons, the show, I wouldn't say it fell apart, but the whole quality changed.
And, is that a shark I see you jumping?
No, I don't think it was a shark.
Okay.
I don't think it was a shark. I don't think it even
tuna.
jumped to mackerel. But it certainly wasn't the same show. They did some interesting things. They ran on Will Ferrell for, like, I think it was a 4-episode run, which was fun. Then they eventually brought in James Spader, which totally changed it because he's a very strange character, which, imagine that, James Spader playing this strange character.
No.
I think they did bring it back, though, in the 9th run. And it, the last few episodes, they brought the thing full circle, and it really worked, where they did the payoff of, and if somehow no one knows what The Office is about, is supposedly it's a documentary of the daily life in just a typical office, a company that sells paper, Dunder Mifflin, and it follows the lives of the various people. There are a couple normal, somewhat normal people. Jim, John Krasinski, who has a huge hit on his hands with A Quiet Place. Pam Beasley is the receptionist who eventually becomes his girlfriend and eventually becomes his wife. To me, it's a great romance story because that's what the thing really is. That's the real story, is the romance between Pam and Jim. And it takes years to finally develop, and it's really sweet, and there's some really touching moments in it. And then you have Steve Carell being really, really, really bizarre because he's ineffective, inefficient, kind of stupid, but his heart's in the right place, so he's a likable character. the lovely character of Dwight Schrute. don't really know even what to say about Dwight Schrute, except if you knew this person, you would do your very best to get away from him, no matter what it took to get away from him. He'd be like the worst coworker possible. And yet he had redeeming qualities. It's a group of ultimately likable characters. They're all very likable people, even the obnoxious ones, because at their heart, they're all good people, and they all care about each other eventually. It takes a while. It's a very cool show. It's 9 seasons. The first 7 are awesome. The 8th season is eh, but the 9th season brings it back around. And I really like that the closure that they had in the last couple episodes there. So The Office is a great comedy. It's a kind of a, I don't know if it's a subtle romance, but the romance runs through the thread in the entire
The romance
time.
Runs through it.
Yes, and romance runs through it. Brilliantly put, sir. So I really, really like The Office. And you can devote, let's see, how many hours would that be? A lot of hours to binge.
It would be
watch
a lot of
summer.
Hours.
It would be a lot of hours.
Toby is a horrible person. He's an awful person.
No, 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 God, no. Yes, Toby.
Have you guys seen The British Office?
Yes.
It's only on for a couple of seasons.
Yeah,
they only ran it for like 3 and then have wondered a lot where the American version was going. So they said, wait a minute, we finished. Why are they still going?
Yeah, I mean, it's a BBC, you know, that's a short seasons and short series is length. But I will say the American version is, I mean, you don't have a dildo going off in the office. So, and it's Ricky Gervais, but and so both are. I agree with Todd. I really like the what they did with The Office, and especially how it evolved over time. But yeah, the British Office is absolutely worth seeing if you haven't seen.
Oh, absolutely! Yeah, it is. It's very different. The basic premise is the same, but it's very biting and sarcastic. Yeah. And
Martin Freeman, Ricky Gervais. I mean, that just you know. It's absolutely
had a great cast to it.
Yes,
it is fun to compare the two because the characters are basically the same group of main characters, and it's fun to see how they differ, and especially their. Well, I think that's one thing. In the British version, I don't really see any because it's short. There really isn't an arc going on. It's just this is it, mm-hmm. And I'm sure there if they had been on for a season or two too long. Pardon. That would have happened. So they're a little more static characters. That's not a complaint or a criticism. It's just
yeah.
It's
and
a
in
difference.
Fact,
it's a difference. That's all.
Yeah, Gervais brought it to America.
It's yeah, exactly.
So yeah.
Yeah, he's an executive producer, right?
Right, and he was part of that. The way the show evolved. So
he even shows up in the American version.
Yes, he does. Yeah.
Which is a brilliant. Oh my God, it's there are many, many brilliant moments in the American version and the British version as well. So, yeah, if you need to actually catch both. And it won't take that long to watch the British version, certainly.
Is that on... it's probably not on Netflix, probably on Hulu?
I thought you used to watch it on Netflix. But that may have changed, but I have seen it on Netflix. I actually have the DVDs, but I've also seen it on Netflix. And I'll go back to Todd's suggestion of using Flixable and to search real fast and see if The Office, because The Office itself, you can watch all of the seasons on Netflix, right? So but I think the British version, if those listening have not seen it, should definitely see it. So
good series.
Agreed.
And the British Office is on Netflix.
Ta-da! See, now we've given you something to do for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Needs to be a lazy Sunday day. Go watch The Office. And wait for Deadpool to come out on, DVD or something.
Speaking of Deadpool, Jose Fernandez is actually in the British Office. Who knows? I guess there's a boat scene I didn't know about.
That would fit with the British Office. Oh, God.
Okay.
I'm in Miami, sir.
Tune in next week when Todd does his Horatio Caine impersonation by ripping off his glasses and saying something snarky. It could happen. You never know. Meanwhile, visit our website, cinemasavants.com, subscribe to the show, all that good stuff. And we'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.
Captain, we're losing power in the warp engines.
I think we should be leaving now.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
And on that unusually harmonious bombshell, it is time to end.
I am very disappointed!
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
And like that, he's gone.
Darn, that's the end.